Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. As Democrats declare their intentions for the 2020 presidential election, one U.S. senator from Minnesota is being accused of being not so Minnesota nice. Amy Klobuchar is facing allegations that she's difficult to work for. Is she a bad boss or is she just bossy? Kevin Wooster tackles the topic on his blog. You can find it at sdpb.org/Wooster. Kevin, welcome back.
It's great to be back. I just glanced at that blog piece, which I put up a couple days ago, and it looks like I reached no conclusions.
That probably is a sign of wisdom and sophisticated thinking. It's the people who reach conclusions in 200 words that worry me.
I'm inclined to suspect that I concluded that it's more about a judgment against her because she's a woman than it is about that she's way out of line as being a jerk of a boss. But I don't know that. And I do know some people in D.C. that have worked for really difficult bosses sometimes and, you know, treated them in humiliating ways. So I'm hoping that that's not what this was. But
we were just talking about cooperation versus competition. And so the world of politics is incredibly competitive and not always cooperative. But what do we know when we look back at Amy Klobuchar's life? What do we sort of know about her beyond just some of the things people are saying now? As you know, how did she get where she got to today?
Well, she certainly got there by being a hard worker and a high achiever. And, you know, with her education at some top-flight schools through law school. And as I point out in the blog piece, we are shaped to one degree or another, sometimes to really great degrees, by our life experience, including our home upbringing. And, you know, she grew up with an alcoholic father who was well-known, Jim Klobuchar, a well-known columnist for the Star Tribune in Minneapolis, and had many issues of his own, and he wrote about some of those and has written about some of those. And that has to have an effect, you know, an especially well-known man that, you know, had not treated his family well by his own admission in many ways. And how does that drive you? And how do you channel all that? How do you funnel all that? And you may do it to drive yourself, to exceed, to excel in certain things, and that could have an effect the way what you expect of other people too, I think.
And I'm wondering if, and I want to sort of, before we get too far into this, bring in that you're also working on another blog post that's not published yet that deals with blackface and people using it throughout, you know, in different contexts. And as we look at all this stuff sort of happening with Amy Klobuchar and other candidates, Bernie Sanders comes to mind, we're really talking about what kind of standard we're going to hold people to and if we're holding everybody to the same standard. And I wonder if that all ties back into President Trump and the shifting of what a standard for political leadership is in the first place. Maybe that's too far of a stretch.
Well, I think that there's a couple issues there. What standards of behavior do we expect from people? And that includes, and maybe should emphasize, how do we treat others? And I don't think President Trump does very well in that regard. I don't know how Amy Klobuchar does personally, you know, myself. And how do we address the way people act or what they say, or in the cases of, you know, Virginia Governor Northam, what he did 35 years ago and what he's done since. And how willing are we to forgive people? I don't know if those are all tied together or not, but I think they're certainly valuable discussion points.
And what are we willing to forgive people for? We just went through the Brett Kavanaugh, you know, confirmation hearings. Are we willing to forgive people for illegal behavior? Is it just that we have to prove it? How about racist behavior? Is there a double standard for women? Is there a double standard for Democrats? All kinds of questions that people are sort of asking, which might not be a bad thing to be asking all these questions about. You know, what can a U.S. senator get away with is, you know, in treating her staff, male or female? Or is she held to a different standard because she is female?
Well, I always suspect that women, strong women, powerful women, whether you like Hillary Clinton or not, and there's a lot of reason to criticize her, you know, but I always felt she is still held often to a different standard because she's a woman and a powerful, outspoken woman, a well-known woman that has had some power. And I have to assume that we begin there most of the time, that women are just treated differently when they behave in ways that men behave a lot and don't get judged in the same way about.
Let's talk a little bit about blackface, because you have some memories about sort of what this might have looked like in South Dakota in a different era.
Yeah, we're piecing this together, my four older siblings and I, with all the conversation, you know, about Ralph Northam and his parents in law school and a skit. And then it was clear, did he, you know, initially kind of apologize for it, and then he said, no, that wasn't me in this particular case. But then he said that he did wear it, what, at a dance or something some other time. So I think we can conclude that he wore it sometime in some way back then. And we've concluded, my siblings and I, that my dad wore it at some time back in the mid-50s. And, you know, they had these old 1820s minstrel shows that went around with a lot of blackface in them, and they had kind of died on the national level. But in smaller community theaters, especially in rural areas, I think they were still going in the 50s. And had one. My dad was a great tenor, and he liked performing. He liked to sing. And so we ended up there with other people in blackface, white folks in blackface. And one of the people in blackface was a great baritone singer that I knew, my siblings knew growing up, a Native American, a young Native American that was there singing in blackface as well. So as, you know, you look back on it and think, oh boy, you know, here's a guy that I never, ever heard a word of racism from or an insensitive comment towards minorities. He was got along great with Native people, hired Native people for our farm and respected them and had friendship with them. And has a good reputation still in the Lower Bill community, I believe. And yet he was up on stage in 1956 dancing in blackface. You know, it's complicated.
As we talk about, and you know, we're talking about things that we maybe know more about now than we knew about then. And I don't know. I mean, I can't say what he thought he was doing, what was the joke, it doesn't seem like it's innocent ever, what we're hearing from folks today are like, no, it was never okay. This was a caricature. But maybe people didn't realize that, didn't want to face that truth. We're facing a lot of hard truths as we sort of move into deeper into the 21st century. Do you think that's a good thing as we sort of start having those conversations about, Native American people as mascots and people, white people dressed in blackface? And there's just a whole, but people resist saying that there was anything wrong about it in the first place, because why? Why do you think people resist and say, well, hey, it was the 50s, or hey, it was the 80s, or hey, you had to understand the context. It was just at a party. It was just silly. We were just messing around. At what point is that not okay?
Yeah, at what point isn't it? And obviously you have a different perspective if you're a white person looking back on it than you do if you're, you know, a black person.
Exactly.
I think those things kind of disappeared. This would have been probably 1956. And I think they kind of disappeared with the civil rights movement, with good reason, you know, probably should have disappeared long before that, of course. I guess the question is, we can criticize, we can even condemn behavior, but at what point are we willing to forgive behavior, or at least begin to? Trevor Noah said last night on Colbert, you know, that he hopes Ralph Northam stays in office, so he has to deal with this issue. And we have this conversation that continues, and I like that. I like the idea that people aren't necessarily thrown away because they made a mistake, whether it was last year or 35 years ago. Although I do think there's a difference between wearing blackface in 1956, before civil rights and before everybody got a slap in the face and said, oh, look what we've been doing, in 1984, 1985, when probably you should have been slapped in the face and recognized it by then. But does that mean we don't forgive him? I hope not.
And, you know, our time is short, but boy, we could keep talking about Al Franken from Minnesota and Amy Klobuchar. Maybe they're both going to disappear because they're just not nice enough to be considered as Minnesotans, but everybody else is going to get a pass. Gavin Wister, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time. We'll see you next week.
Take care.